Welcome back to Tabula Cast. This is episode 7 for January 9th, 2008. And as always, I'm your host, Sean. In this episode, I wanted to continue the trend that I started last time, and this time do a soldier-themed show. So I'll discuss the soldier a little bit, and hopefully with the combination of this show and last show, it will give newer players a better idea of what they might be looking for when they create a character. For the news this time around, I wanted to just touch on a few things. For one, there was the in-game event that I held last weekend for Tabula Cast listeners, and it was, someone showed up, so that's a start. It was actually funny because I had just gotten my Ranger to level 30, and I was all excited about making the clone and outfitting the new character with their spanking new torque show rifle and all that. And I look up at the clock, and it's like 5 after 9. So, you know, I was running a little bit late. So I had to hurry up and log off and then log back on to my Tabula Cast character, which he ended up right where I left him on the platform in Alias Das. And then I was soon joined by a guy named Phoenix Legion UK. And we chatted for a little bit about his clan, and we talked about the podcast and the fact that there was no one else there at the time. And then a few minutes after that, we decided to go on, and we headed out to a control point to kill some Bane. And it was really a lot of fun, too, because what we do is we'd switch back and forth from the landing zone to Imperial Valley and, you know, just do our thing. And it's so weird playing a low-level character with almost no armor again, because I think I died like 600 times or something. But, you know, we had fun for that hour. I was there for about an hour, and I wanted to just thank him for coming out there and just sticking with me for that time. I thought that was really cool. Plus, you know, the fact that he's in the UK, it was like 2 a.m. when we started, I think he said. So that's some dedication right there. And also, when I was just about to log off, there was someone else that came to one of the control points, and they waved to me and said hi, and that they enjoyed the podcast. And I hate the fact that I didn't get their name, but I just wanted to say thanks to whoever said hi to me just before I left. Now, on to game news. The main thing I wanted to talk about with this was the there's an update, 1.4, that's in the works, and it should be coming to the test server soon. And ironically, it was announced on January 4th. And here's what it says. Update 1.4. We are kicking off 2008 with a new 1.4 patch, which includes several new features. Here's a sneak peek at a few of the 1.4 patch notes before it goes onto the public test server. The new features include hybrids. Yeah, get this. Mix a dash of human with a sprinkle of alien and see what comes out of the oven. More details to come soon. Well, that sounds awesome. There's a hide helmet option. It says, now you can show off that lovely helmet hair and or your new hybrid's alien face. And then there's attribute changes. Your body, mind, and spirit were overhauled over the holiday break. With these changes comes an ability and attribute respec. And then they have some important bug fixes. It says, your mission log should no longer reset when you log out. There's been Myers improvements, which I'll talk about in a second, and the staff animation was changed. So on to those Myers performance issues. As everyone knows, this isn't in the official notes, but I'm just saying this here as a side note, but as everyone knows who's played Myers, it's really just a pain in the butt. The lag is incredibly bad, and it's really just frustrating, to say the least. And what makes it even more frustrating is that you usually get there just before you turn level 30. So you're all excited to get to level 30, and there's not really a lot you can do because you're lagging so much, especially if you use a shotgun. Oh man, just forget it if you're using a shotgun. But according to these notes, they actually are working on fixes for this, so they are aware of the problems here. And it says, the Myers performance issues should be resolved with the next update, which is 1.4, In the last few updates, we included a number of large technology improvements for Myers. However, its performance is still not in line with our desired numbers. For example, the creature count on Myers is only slightly higher than desired. But due to the large-scale, warzone-like design of the map, there were 4 times as many creatures in combat as any other map. Myers also contains many locations where both friendly and enemy dropships were appearing literally within meters of each other. To guarantee that the performance of Myers is on par with other maps for the next update, we've made some changes to the design of Myers that greatly improves the performance without making the map significantly different. They also talk a little bit about gold selling and advertising. It says, we are aware of current issues involving credit or gold sellers and advertising in the chat channel. We have already made several improvements to crack down on these players and are currently working on other options to prevent them from disrupting gameplay. Please be advised that buying or selling in-game credits, as well as in-game advertising, is against the Tabula Rasa user agreement and will lead to a banned account. When encountering these players, use the /ignore command. And as far as some chat channel changes, they have, there's been a few little changes with that. It says that there's been some confusion on each chat channel's main purpose. So they're giving a little bit of an overview here. There's not really any changes. They just want to make sure that everybody is on the same page as what each channel is actually for. Now, general, whether it be English, French, or German, also this applies to local and area messages. It says, be polite as possible when speaking in these channels. As a guideline, it's best to keep the following hot topics out of general chat to avoid arguments. Politics, religion, Nerf discussions, and of course, Chuck Norris. If any other channel can apply to your topics, please state it in that particular channel. Yeah, all I gotta say about this is good luck with that, because right now, you know, it'd be great to have it cleaned up, but right now, general chat is a mess. And you go on there, and there's all kinds of craziness. And especially politics, religion, Nerf discussions, and Chuck Norris. So next, they talk about the new player chat channel. They say, get help with the basics of Tabula Rasa. Great place to ask questions about lower-level content, such as Wilderness or Divide. If you are not sure where to ask your question, ask it here. So that's just a good place in general to start out with asking questions. Then there's the LFG channel. It says, find a group for an instance or other types of missions on your map. Also great for clan recruiting. I personally, this is the only channel I have open, is LFG. I made myself a customized channel, and it has LFG in there, and the clan channel and a couple other things, and that's about it. And finally, they have a little note on the trade channel, which they say is for quick shoutouts for selling or buying items. So, that's it for the news. I wanted to do one more last announcement, though, thanking those people who have helped sponsor TabulaCast through VirginWorlds.com. And what it is over there on VirginWorlds.com, Brent, who's the host, if you don't know already, he's the one who actually deals with the bandwidth costs and the RSS and, you know, that whole technical side of things for this show. And acting as a sponsor for this show or any of the other shows in the Virgin Worlds Collective actually helps him pay for what is the most expensive part of making a podcast, and that's the hosting fees and all that kind of stuff. So even though I've actually forgotten to mention it on the last few shows, I wanted to thank those who have stepped up with that. And so far it's included Hauntshade, who is over at TwoWorldsUnknown.com, and then Green Gel over at GamingMMO.com. So thanks, guys. So now let's get into the Soldier class, the main topic of this episode. Soldier classes are the primary combatants, doing the most direct damage on the battlefield. Most soldier abilities are concerned with aggressive attacks and dishing out damage on the enemy. Soldiers commence training at level 5 and are considered the hard-hitting members of the Tier 2 classes. Their specialist counterparts offer enhanced survivability to groups, while soldiers conduct direct assaults against the enemy. Key aspects of soldier training include heavier armor, machine gun use for higher single target damage output, and future training opportunities in aggressive techniques. Well, basically what they're saying here is the soldier is the damage dealer of the Tier 2 classes, right? If you want to one day become a guardian, a grenadier, a spy, or a sniper, then you'll need to go through soldier training first. I've not played through from 1 to 30 on both the specialist and the soldier side of the fence, so while I can give the facts and figures of the soldier, their abilities, weapons, and armor, and all that, I'll also try to give a little bit more info into what I've found to be most true with the soldier versus the specialist. So let's start with the soldier's armor, which is reflective armor. It actually reflects a percentage of physical and sonic damage per piece of reflective armor worn. And of course, the higher the pump towards your reflective body armor training skill, the higher percentage of physical and sonic damage reflection that you get, all the way up to 10% per piece at level 5, or pump 5. For weapons on the soldier, we have, as always, we have the weapon choices from a recruit, of course, with the skill firearms. Like, there's the shotgun, rifle, and pistol, which I talked about last time with the specialist. But what we have now is a new choice with the machine gun training, which allows us to use any variation of a chain gun or a machine gun. Now, these chain guns have their pros and cons, just like anything else in this game. The main pro being the fact that this is a rapid-fire gun, which allows you to just mow down an enemy with a shower of ammo. But this brings us to the first con of the machine gun, which is the high cost of maintaining it. When you're flowing through 100-round clips every few seconds, that really adds up, especially later on in the game when you're using power cells instead of just regular cartridges. Also, another con to the machine gun is the short range, and then there's the overheating concerns that you have when the gun is fired for long periods of time. Now, the overheating can actually be reduced with higher pumps of the machine gun training skill. Starting at pump 3 is actually when the heat dissipation starts. And then at pump 5, 100% of the heat is dissipated, plus you get the 40% damage bonus as well. So that right there, once you get it up to pump 5, which again is like any other skill, really, you know, once you get it up to a pretty high pump, it makes it a lot more effective. Now on to the soldier's abilities. These again are the logos abilities, not the skills. First we have shrapnel, and what its in-game description says is it says, fling metallic fragments around with great force, damaging all enemies surrounding you. So this is basically like an area of effect spell that just causes damage to anything around you. And the damage that it causes is physical damage, and it requires anywhere from 25 power and one piece of scrap metal for pump 1, all the way up to 125 power and 15 pieces of scrap metal at pump 5. The logos required for this are projectile and area. The soldier's second ability is called Rage. Its in-game description says, utilize command of logos to increase the damage done by your attacks. The damage bonus is proportional to your adrenaline. At higher training levels, it creates a radius aura that impacts the same effect on nearby squad mates. So basically what they're saying is it gives you, and potentially your squad mates, a boost to your damage dealing and a resistance to the damage dealt to you. This ability gets a little complicated to explain throughout its different pump levels, because it has different levels of expenditures versus damage dealing versus resistance and all that, but I'm going to try to explain it a little bit anyway, so just bear with me here. At pump 1, it costs 40 power and 10% adrenaline, and in return, you deal 30% more damage for 20 seconds. When you bring that up to pump 2, you of course increase the power and the adrenaline costs, but in return, you get a 30-second duration instead of 20, and you have an area of effect of 15 meters, meaning that it affects your friends too, within range. The damage resistance bonus of 10% actually starts at pump 3, along with the other things that are increased as well. And then you get the whole shebang, you know, the whole thing at pump 5, you get 50% damage bonus to you and your squad mates within 24 meters. And you get a damage resistance of 10% for you and your squad mates, and all this lasts for a full minute, for 60 whole seconds. One important thing to note with Rage, though, is the damage bonus that you get only affects weapon use, not the damage from other abilities. So, like, if you use lightning or something else that causes damage, like shrapnel, if you use these abilities, you're not going to get any kind of damage bonus with the damage that those abilities do. It only works on, like, you know, your weapons, like your shotgun or whatever. Now, as for my own experiences with the soldier, of course take this with a grain of salt, because we all play differently, and I don't want to try to tell anyone how to play their characters, but me personally, I tried the chain guns for a while, and I just hated them. It's like killing something just 100 pellets at a time instead of one solid headshot, you know, which is what I prefer, which is actually why I really enjoy playing my sniper. But you have that, plus the fact that you have the overheating issues, which you also have with the pistol as well. Anything that fires pretty fast, you have overheating issues. But you have that, and then you have the ammo cost, which is, again, it's not the highest. You know, the leech gun's pretty high, polarity gun's pretty high. Actually, anything once you get into the higher tiers is pretty high ammo cost, except for the melee weapons. But I pretty much avoided the machine guns altogether, just for these reasons. And then as for abilities, I used Rage back when it was bugged, or whatever you want to call it. And then when they did the rebalance on it, I still loved it. It's still just a great ability. And I would personally advise using it over Shrapnel. Which, again, Shrapnel to me is like the chain gun of abilities. You know, you're trying to kill your enemy 100 tiny scraps of metal at a time, you know. Rage, to me, it just works a lot better as an ability. Also, in my opinion, I try not to waste too many of my skill points in these tier 1 or 2 skills. I guess with the exception of firearms, maybe. But the tier 3, and especially the tier 4 weapons and armor, are just worlds beyond anything in 1 or 2. So if you can stand using a shotgun, a pistol or a rifle for maybe 15 or ideally 30 levels, I would say go for it, because I'll talk more about the tier 3 weapon choices in a later show, of course, but maybe with the exception of the Ranger's net gun, which is kind of crappy right now, anything you choose above tier 2 for a weapon will just be loads better than a chain gun. Although, you know, as with mostly anything in this game, it just depends on what your ultimate goal is with your character. Like, for me, I went ahead and I planned out what I wanted to do with my character. Like, I wanted to make a sniper. So this sniper, what do I want to make him do? I want to make him be able to run to high up areas and, you know, do some sniping. So he's going to have his sprint skill, not maxed out, but I got it up to pump 3, just because he's not... You know, he doesn't use his other close-range weapons a lot, so he's doing a lot of running to spots and then doing the damage, you know. So I gave him sprint, I gave him stuff like that, and I didn't concentrate on any of their armors. I didn't give him anything in the reflective armor or anything like that, because I knew that stealth armor is the way I wanted to go. So that's the kind of thing you need to do when you plan out your ultimate goal for your character, which I know I've mentioned 100 million times, but I just can't say that enough. And now it's time for the top 5 tips of this episode. In no particular order, starting with number 5, report any bugs you encounter. This is a very important tip, because it's important to the future of the game. While you might come across a mission that won't finish, or a boss that spawns but won't reward you when you kill him, or maybe a marker that won't mark, or whatever it is, just make sure you report it. Sometimes you may just be missing a vital part of that mission, so make sure that it is in fact a bug first before you go around, you know, petitioning it. But maybe ask around on general chat or new player chat or one of those, and see if anyone else has had the same problem. Lord knows there are enough people on there who like to share their vast knowledge of the world. So, you know, you're bound to find someone on there who at least knows a little bit about the situation. But if it does turn out to be a bug, you can report the bug by typing /bug or /petition to actually petition a GM. And what happens with a lot of these is they will actually meet you at the area, or they'll just reset the quest for you or fix it somehow, and usually they do it pretty quickly. Also, be sure to put in as much info as you can on these bugs. Like, don't just say something like, "I can't complete this mission," and then like 400 exclamation marks after it. You got to put what mission it is, maybe who the NPC is that offers you the reward or whatever's not working exactly. The location is very important, the coordinates of the location, you know, write that down. And just as much as you can, as much information as you can, be as specific as you can. And if you're just simply stuck in the side of a cliff or something like that, don't use the /bug command, use the /stuck command. I've actually had to use that, I probably use that maybe once or twice a week now, if not more than that. But it's a pretty common thing until they iron out all those environment bugs. Alright, so on to number 4. Get as many logos as humanly possible before making a clone at the next tier. For example, let's say you're level 29, and you're excited about getting to level 30. And you've been flying through these missions trying to rack up all the experience you can to get to that next tier at level 30. So you ignore all the logos that don't have a mission tied to them, and then you get to the end of level 29, make a clone, and you're so excited you now have a spy and a sniper. But guess what? You'll need to now get all of those logos that you didn't get before. You have to get them twice. You have to get them on your spy and sniper. And if you just ran through and you got them when you were level 29 still, or lower even, you'd only have to do them once. This actually goes a long way for character creation strategy in this game. And it takes some common sense planning, too. For me, personally, I'd like to have one of every tier 4 class. And that's basically what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about if you want to make more than one character, or, you know, alt, and you want to take them through the game. That's what this applies to. Right now, I have 4 level 30s out of 8, so I'm pretty much halfway there. And, you know, when you're approaching level 30, you'll probably be in the Myers or the Plateau. And to me, I'd much rather get the Myers out of the way completely, along with the incline and the plains and all that, so that I don't have to go back and do those instances and missions twice. Now, the Plateau is a different story, though, because I absolutely love the Plateau. I think that's a gorgeous area. And I'm actually really excited about doing that area twice, or I guess 8 times eventually. One mistake that many people make, though, is that around this level, they start doing grinding for experience. Like, they'll do Treeback Camp or the Retread Caves or something like that. Well, Retread's a little bit further down, but it's one of those things that people think that if they grind for experience, and, you know, then they get to level 30 or whatever, and then they can make the clones. Well, all that time and energy putting into grinding and not getting experience from missions is kind of a waste, because if you go the path that I do, which again, not everyone does, but, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience here, then you'll have to redo. You'll have to do all those quests that you never did before. You have to do them twice. And, of course, you know, there are the people who are content with having just one character. And if that's, you know, if that's your thing, that's fine. Then you can grind as much as you want, and you just have that one character that you're getting through the game. But if you plan on taking multiple characters through the game, then just all I'm saying is just plan ahead a little bit and get those hard missions out of the way, and instances, too. Once again, though, I'm just talking efficiency here. I think I mentioned that last episode, where I'm big into efficiency and multiple characters as well. So that's pretty much where most of my strategic thinking comes from, is efficiency and several alts. Okay, anyway, enough of that. On to number 3. Pay attention to the color or tint of your mission radio icon on your radar map. This one actually, it gave me a little bit of trouble when I first started the game, and I think you probably all know what I'm talking about here. You know, like you're standing right where the radio icon shows up on your map, but there's like a tree there or something, and there's no bad guys anywhere. Actually, the first time I did this, I was standing, I think it was the pinhole caves, and there was a something was in the cave itself, which was below me, so I'm standing above it, and I'm like, where is the mission? What am I doing wrong? And I'm standing by a tree, and I'm looking up into the tree going, is it up there? Is it, you know, what am I missing here? Well, the thing you got to look for is you may notice that the radio icon in situations like this is like a muted yellow color instead of the bright yellow that a radio icon usually is. Well, the reason for this is that the mission objective is either above or below you. I know this is common to some other major MMOs, but I guess I was just used to the linear nature of Guild Wars, which I've played mostly before this, where there was just no above or below, you know, and you know that was it. So in case anyone else is having this problem, there you go. That's your solution right there. Also, another detail you might want to look at when you're trying to decide where exactly something is in relation to you, height-wise, is to look for a small arrow. It's like a triangular arrow that points either up or down. Like, let's say that there's an NPC and he's below you in a cave, right? There will be a small light blue triangle pointing downward where he is. That'll be his indicator. And that shows that he's below you. So it's pretty simple stuff if you think about it. Okay, so let's move on to number 2. Stay away from linkers while they're charging. There was recently a discussion about this on my page over at Virgin Worlds, and I was reading through it, and I thought it might make a good tip. What the linkers do is they actually charge themselves up with energy. Basically, they take it from you when you attack them, and then they throw it back at you at a 1-to-1 ratio. So let's say you're running around with this nifty laser sword that you got. You know, you just became a spy, and you're running around with your new sword, and you're just slicing through Thrax like butter, doing, 4,000 damage each slice. And in your careless glee, you happen upon a charging linker. And then, hey, what's this? How did I get insta-killed? Yeah, see, there's some tough cookies there, those linkers. But there is a plus side to this, and there's a way to get around them and actually defeat them. If you stay away while they're charging, which you'll be able to identify by the glowing red-orange ball that surrounds them. It looks like basically a ball of energy. And they're also crouching down, like they're almost like they're flexing. But what they're doing is they're charging up that energy, and they're getting ready. And when they release it, they pretty much, you'll see this like yellow-orange ball of energy just shoot out from them. And actually, it'll hit a player, and then it'll kind of chain to the next player next to it, and it'll do like a chain effect, and it'll hit a bunch of players at once. And this is some big-time damage they can do there. But it's still not as big as if you try to attack them while they're charging. That right there, I mean, you'll die instantly if you try to attack them then. So what you need to do is you wait till after they shoot this ball of energy out, or this stream of energy. I guess that would be a better way of explaining it. After they shoot the stream of energy out, they'll look like they're exhausted. Like they'll kind of fall down and like, or they'll fall back and just look like they're exhausted. Well, that's when you attack them. That's the point right there. That's your window of opportunity. Because right then, they are completely vulnerable for a few seconds. And this is especially useful when you're a low level and you're doing control points, and there's always a group of linkers there. Usually they travel in threes. And you may notice, when you're attacking these things, you hit them once and you're dead, and you're like, what the, what? Well, there you go. That's the little deal there. Just attack them after they shoot their little stream of energy, and you'll get them every time. And actually, that tip right there brings us to the number one tip. They kind of tie together a little bit. And the number one tip is to look for vulnerabilities in your targets. Tabula Rasa isn't really a game of slash and dash where you can just run around and kill anything and everything, you know, with the same shotgun from the same angle every time. The combat mechanics in this game, I think, are just brilliant. Just the way everything works together, from getting cover behind objects, and the fact that there's different parts of the body that can be hit and they affect it differently. It really works together to just make a real immersive environment, I think. But as I've mentioned before, let me just say first that there are different types of damage for different types of enemies. You'll notice that at certain times you may be firing at something and it'll say immune in these big red letters above the target. Well, this means that you're basically wasting your time and your ammo, and you need to switch to a different weapon, or else you're never going to even hurt this thing. And in addition to this, there are the creature's own defenses, as I also mentioned with the linkers. There are certain things that you need to watch for, and certain windows of opportunities for killing certain enemies. The linkers are a great example of this, and also, early on in the game, you'll notice this with the miasma. When the miasma are in their non-physical form, which is basically a big cloud of purple, like, smoky stuff, they can't be harmed. So save your ammo. When you see them do this, they turn into a bigger, like, they always have this small cloud of purple around them, but when they turn into a bigger cloud and you can't see their bodies anymore, you can't hurt them at all. So just save your ammo and wait until that cloud goes away, and then when you see their ugly faces pop up again, that's when you pump them full of lead. And that right there will help you clear out those miasma caves, and later on in the game there's other times when you actually encounter the miasma, and that tip right there will help you out. And now on to the fan site of the week, which this time around is TabularasaRolePlayers.com. Now, I'm not really a dedicated RPer myself, but I do enjoy the fact that people do roleplay regularly, and I've even been known to jump in character occasionally. Like last week, I was waiting outside Fluxite Mines trying to get a group together, and after standing there for a few minutes with one other person in the squad, and he wasn't really saying much, neither was I, he actually said something like, excuse my non-talkative nature, I'm a clone, and that part wasn't carried over correctly. And you know, when he said that, I thought it was pretty clever and kind of funny, and I recognized the fact that he was doing a bit of RPing, so I played along, and I said something like, I understand. As a clone myself, I'm often at a loss for words. Then he accidentally replied the next line in general chat instead of local, just to me, which I thought was kind of funny, but I think it embarrassed him a little bit. But throughout the rest of the instance, we actually had, you know, we had some fun being in character for the most part here and there. I thought it was pretty funny. It made it a lot more entertaining and better than just running around and shooting stuff, you know. I tend to think that RPing in Tabula Rasa is becoming quite popular, and it's actually kind of easy to do. Maybe more so than like a fantasy setting, because when you fantasy roleplay, you have to throw in the these and the thous. But, you know, in Tabula Rasa, of course, you have the sci-fi element, and you have the fact that it's in the future, and, you know, there's military. So you have all these things together. You use the military role-playing and the sci-fi role-playing and with the aliens and everything together, and it makes for maybe I shouldn't say easy, because it's not easy, but it makes for an opportunity to be really creative, I think. But this website, TabularasaRolePlayers.com, is actually considered the hub of this role-playing community. On the site's main page, it says that Cassiopeia is the unofficial U.S. RP server, and Centaurus, being the only European server, of course, is the unofficial European RP server. Now, this isn't to say that it's the only place that they do their role-playing in-game, because they have a packed calendar up on the website that shows in-game events, like they have Tavern Night and stuff like that. And they list what server it will be on for each event. And it looks to me, when I look at this, it looks like they're trying to stick to the unofficial RP servers, of course, which is Cassiopeia and Centaurus also. But there's also an occasional Pegasus and Orion thrown in there as well. Some of the recent notable achievements of this RP community include a Christmas story contest that they just held a few weeks ago. And, of course, there was their involvement with the devs on that memorial event held back on December 21st that I mentioned on a previous show. Also on their website, they have a gallery of players, which is especially important in RP. And there's also some gorgeous landscape screenshots in this gallery, as well as some event shots and fan art. And I think what they do is they use all of this stuff together to coordinate the whole RP environment for the community, which it really helps out a lot. Their forums have most of the usual, you know, forum-y stuff, but what's especially great is the in-character boards that are actually marked with an IC. This is where I think the community shines, but if you're new to role-playing and you want to join up, just be sure to read their guidelines and rules before posting anything in their forums or joining an open story or anything. I was asked recently in an email if I could rate these fan sites that I do each episode on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5 or whatever, but to me personally, I don't think that would be something that I'd be interested in doing. I just think that the fact that I'm mentioning them as the fan site of the week means that I enjoy the site and what their creators do. So, to me, I give them all 10s. How's that? Does that work? So anyway, if you're into role-playing or you think you might want to start getting into role-playing, I definitely suggest heading over to the community at tabularasaroleplayers.com. And of course, I will have a link to that in the show notes for today. Now, I wanted to read over a few emails that I've received over the past few months or so. And this is something that I'd like to keep better tabs on regularly, because I'm really, 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 really bad at responding to emails. And most of the email I get is just saying something like, nice job, or you suck, or, you know, things that don't really require a response. But I'm going to try to read and answer a few emails each episode, and let's see if I actually stick to that or not. So here goes. The first one is from Daryl. And this is from a few months ago, I believe November. But he says, hello, Sean. I just finished listening to your latest podcast, number 4. After listening to number 3 at work, I was planning on sending you an email about clone tokens. Sadly, I was not quick enough and listened to number 4 where you touched on the point I wanted to send to you. I was involved in the open beta and enjoyed 2 weeks of play prior to the launch. I remember complaints in the general chat that there was no respec. Well, the clone token, as a result of finishing each area's Targets of Opportunity quest, is the perfect respec. Even though I planned ahead of time the direction of my character, Demolitionist, I did spread my skills so that I could get a taste of all aspects of Tabula Rasa, especially the crafting aspect. I wanted to try all of the really neat harvesting parts of the game in order to craft upgrades, ammo, and health packs. I noticed that the Clone Token Award was the perfect opportunity to split my character twice at level 15. I used the award to create a character that would be more specialized heading into the Demolitionist role. Plus, the Game Award at the end of level 14 that allowed me to create a character headed down the path of Exobiologist. Like I said, sadly, I didn't realize there was a TR podcast out there until 2 days ago, and I was one podcast too late with hint on clone tokens. In podcast 4, you mentioned that you turned off the general chat. I do enjoy the social aspects of the game, but I find that not many people use the map-only chat. In a sense, I wish that the general chat was only available in the population centers to force those people to use the map chat, but then I think that would only cause those looking for a larger audience to use something like the trade or LFG channels. So I'm stuck watching some players abuse each other, hoping that there might be a good conversation or help request I can come chime in on. Keep up the great work. I really enjoyed the background information you gave in your earlier casts, that after listening to them on the way to work, I wanted to turn around and head home to play a bit of TR. The only constructive feedback that I could give would be to make the podcasts longer. You're teasing us with only 30 minutes. Thanks, Daryl. Well, Daryl, let me just touch on a few of these things you're talking about here. One thing that I've thought about doing, I haven't done it myself, but I've thought about it, once they get crafting up to speed, which I don't believe it is right now, once they get it up to where people will want to craft to, you know, as like a regular thing, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a clone just specifically for crafting. So I don't have to use any other skill points towards any weapon skills or anything like that. It will be strictly maxing out the crafting skills. I think that's probably what I'm going to do. And it'll probably be a level 30 character, just so that they can have access to the higher recipes in crafting. But I just wanted to say that because I think that was an idea I had that might help some other people. Also, let's see what else you said. You talk about the... general chat. Yeah. Yeah, many people... I've hardly seen it all. I've hardly seen anyone use the map general chats at all, which I actually thought they might have been broken for a while because I've never seen them. But, yeah, general chat is... It's kind of a slice of life that I don't even want to know exists, I guess to put it that way. It's one of those things where I just want to turn it off and act like there aren't people being completely obnoxious, and I just have LFG open, basically. That's about it. But that's one of the beautiful things about this game, is the customizable chat channels. I think that's wonderful, and I use it all the time, and I highly recommend, if you are annoyed by general chat, to go ahead and make your own customized one, or even you can even customize the general one to just remove general out of there. So that works too. And I guess that's about it. I guess that hopefully that answered all of your questions, and again, thanks for the email, especially the kind words there at the end. That's really nice. So this next one is from Jeff. This is a little bit newer one, and he says, "So I've been listening to Guildcast for the last 9 months or so, and when you started TabulaCast, I just started listening since you have always done a great job, and for that I thank you. You have made many a day much more enjoyable. I have tried the beta and thought the game was good, but still needed some polish. After listening to your first episode, I tried the beta again. It was improved, but I guess the time still wasn't right. Well, after episode 5 and the sale at Amazon, I couldn't say no any longer. I will most likely be starting on the Orion server as I find playtimes of the West Coasters fits into my schedule better. One question that I do have is, how do you like the PvP so far? Is the Guild War as fun as it sounds? Let me just say thanks again for all of you've done, and I look forward to your future shows. Have fun on your vacation." This was sent right before my vacation. That's from Jeff. Well, again, thanks for the kind words. I really do appreciate those kind of emails that kind of boost my ego a little bit. But the question you have is about PvP. And to be honest, I think I mentioned this in an earlier podcast. I joined a PvP clan for all of about 3 days, I think. It wasn't very long, but it was kind of cool. It was cool to see people, you know, when you see people that are in the opposing clan that you're having a war against at that time, you can see them, and in the same city you're in, or the same area you're in, or wherever you're at, and you can go fight them. I know I didn't fight anyone, but I did see a couple people. I saw somebody from my clan actually fight someone from an opposing clan, which I thought was kind of cool. But I stayed out of it, which to me, it told me right there, I'm not really cut out for this. You know, it's just one of those things where I want to be able to do things. Like if I'm shopping for a weapon, I don't want to have someone come up behind me and, you know, and start fighting me. And that's not to say anything against the PvP system. I think it's actually a great system. I think right now the main point of PvP is dueling, where you can go up to someone and you can offer to start a duel with them, it's like that in WoW too. It's basically the same kind of system. And then you have something that they haven't completely perfected yet, I guess you could say, and that's the full-on clan wars. There are clan wars going on, but they're kind of sporadic, and you get them together and you have them assembled in certain areas, things like that, which is up to your clan leader and all that. But they are working on better aspects of PvP, which I do look forward to, because I think that the potential is definitely there. I just think right now it's not. So for me, you know, ask me this question again in a couple months, and hopefully I can say, oh man, I love the PvP in this game. It is so great. So finally, we have this last email here. It's from David, and this is actually from just a couple days ago, I think. It says, Sean, I just wanted to send a quick hello and say thank you for a great show. I played the TR beta for a bit and almost decided to stick with WoW until your podcast got me back interested. Thanks for helping me rediscover Tabula Rasa, and I'm looking forward to Episode 7. David. Now, this is just a short email, and the only reason I picked this one to read is because I get a lot of these types of emails, and this is kind of a culmination of all the emails I get like this. But I get a lot of them where they say, you know, hey, I heard about Tabula Rasa, I wanted to check it out, but then I heard your podcast, and I said, wow, this sounds great, I got to check this out. So for all those people who are in Tabula Rasa right now, just because of you know, how I've pimped it, I guess you could say, I just hope that it exceeds your expectations and that it's everything and more that you expect in this game. Because I personally, you know, I do this podcast because I love this game. When I started playing this game, I said, wow, this is going to be huge. And not only is it big now and it's very exciting now, I think in the future, you know, throughout 2008, this game is going to be huge. I see the potential is just limitless with this game. So when I show my enthusiasm in the show and I try to get other people into this game, it's not like a selling type of thing. It's more the fact that I want more people to just experience this game. You know, I think it's a great game, and I think that it's just one of those things that is a refreshing change from a lot of the games out there. So that's my only thing. And with these emails telling me that I've helped people get into this game, it just means the world to me. It's really great. So for David who wrote this, and for everyone else who's written me an email similar, I just want to say thank you. But that's about it for the emails this time. If you'd like to email me, you can send one along to Sean, Shawn, @tabulacast.com. If you'd like me to not read it on the show, or maybe not mention your name or something like that, just let me know somewhere in the email. Also, I wanted to say, for the several people who have emailed me asking my in-game name, I've decided from the start to not give out that information on the main characters that I played, just mainly because that presented quite a problem over in Guild Wars when I did Guildcast, and I did that. And it's not a huge problem, it's just something that I decided on this game to just not do. But, you know, I do have an account over on the Orion server, and that account's name is TabulaCast. Actually, the character's name is Sean TabulaCast. And this is for just doing in-game events and things like that. So I won't be playing him much, but I may play him just a little bit, mostly to access other parts of the map so that I can have some other places to meet up people. So if you see me on as him, then feel free to give me a shout. And with that, we end another episode of TabulaCast. I wanted to thank you all for listening and for all the positive feedback that I've received so far on the show. The next episode's topic is still undecided, but I will try to mix it up a bit and see what I can come up with. Again, if you'd like to get a shout out on the show, just let me know, and I can mention your name. And if you'd like to hear yourself on a future intro, then send one along to me at Sean@tabulacast.com, and I can play it on a future episode. So until next time, this is Sean signing off.